There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here. And this segment of the show brought to you by my buddy Trey at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. 18 years of getting junk gone in Mobile and Baldwin counties. And we talk about this, like the range of junk, what could be junk. Because a lot of us will think, okay, storage unit, right? Full of boxes, he can handle that. He and the crew, they do that. Furniture in a house that needs to get out, they can handle that. And garage stacked with stuff that's junk you don't want, get that. But in addition to those items, they take on big jobs too. You've got a above ground pool. You want it gone? They can handle it. Big swing set. Even backyard storage sheds, not just cleaning them out, taking the whole storage shed, all that gone. The big mega trampolines that we see sometimes when we have high wind events around here that get thrown through the air, he takes those too. Listen, you got junk of any sort, you want it gone, you need 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And make the appointment. It's real easy. I've done it multiple times with the radio station and personally. Several of us here at the station, in addition to me, have done it. And if you go look at the Google reviews, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of y'all have enjoyed the process so much. You go on Google reviews to say, hey, that was a great experience with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Make the appointment by picking up the phone. The name is the number, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Or you can go to their website, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. They're going to find the day you want to do it, the time you want to do it, and set a good old-fashioned appointment. And all you got to do is point at the junk. You're there. They show up and you just point at the junk you want gone. They quote your price right there on the spot. If you say yes, they start right then, get it done, and it's out of your life. 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. All right, bring back up my buddy John Sharp from AL.com. Maybe his ears were burning last hour. We mentioned his name and his story over at AL.com so many times. Good to get him on in person. Hey, John.
Hey, Sean, how you doing?
I'm good. And I have been reading through texts from people today and then interviewed my buddy and my coworker Dan Brennan about his experience today at the polls. I don't know how much and how widespread. I think what do they call it? Over index for voters compared to everybody else in the community. But I'm seeing people saying, hey, I go into the place I voted in the municipal elections. I came back today and now I'm voting provisional. And I mean, this is not, we've seen it before, like, oh, that's where you voted for a state election or that's where you, but this is the same dang election. And they're coming back in and having not time, but it's anecdotal, but there's many anecdotes on my text line. People said they had that problem today.
Yeah, that's unfortunate to hear. I do know that this is something that it does happen in city elections every 4 years. It's not uncommon to have this situation. I think that it's not uncommon to have this kind of confusion. Because the voting location you may vote in the city election may be completely different than one you voted in the federal election, simply because districts in the city boundaries are different than those in the county.
Mm-hmm.
That are more reflective, the county county and the state administering those elections. So it's two different entities that are administering these elections, and that can create some confusion on election day. Postcards should be mailed out to people indicating where they'll be voting in the municipal elections. Now, the questions are whether or not they receive them on time, if the right information was on those postcards. I don't know. I mean, anybody has an anecdotal story about how they're being informed on where to go vote.
I've got one listener that's exactly, I've got some people that just showed up. They've had the issue. I have another listener who both in the first time in August in the municipal, now in the runoff, has a card sent to her, says, we all know it, like the go vote here card. You get the card. goes there, and that's not the place. I mean, that's like, yeah, that's like clerical stuff, right? I mean, I don't know what we're doing wrong here.
Well, I mean, and this is the story I kind of dive into, and it's hard to say, pinpoint exactly what the cause, root cause of the problem is. What happened after the August 26th election is that the ACLU of Alabama went around. They did a report kind of highlighting some of these problems that occurred in cities throughout the state. And they listed seven different cities in Alabama, Mobile and Pritchard being two of them, in which there were various problems on election day. And so one of the concerns that was raised by a representative with the ACLU, which drew the ire of Secretary of State Wes Allen, was this question whether or not the Alabama voter integrity system, which is something that the Secretary of State's office introduced under Allen's tenureship, whether or not it was synced up to what you mean to the voter registration list with the municipalities. The argument has been made over and over that, you know, the Secretary of State's office has very little oversight, is not in charge of municipal elections.
Right.
And that is correct. That is Alabama law. So the city clerk's offices are in charge of operate running these elections. But what the story, you know, we dived into on AL.com was whether or not, you know, these, well, we're going to have an election next year for the Secretary of State's office. What do these candidates have to say about this? Because it does appear that there are some issues going on out there, Pritchard being the most obvious from August 26, missing provisional ballot box at one of the senior centers. And what you had here in Pritchard was a three-vote difference between Lorenzo Martin, who is not in today's runoff, and incumbent Mayor Jimmy Gardner, who is. And you had a lawsuit that was filed, and still I don't think that Mr. Martin got any kind of complete answers on what happened to those provisional ballots.
Now, these are
deadlines.
Tell that story for people, because we've been talking about provisionals, people that filled out provisionals today, like Dan Brennan and others. They filled them out, and then they sat, right?
Yeah, that's correct. They sat at the voting site. And then he also
and they didn't count them because they aged them too long, right? I mean, they're
right. There's deadlines that.
That's a big screw up, man. That's I don't know. You can't check the room, get all the stuff.
Well, and the city council went forward and certified the election results, and I think that frustrated former Councilman Martin over in Pritchard. Hey, wait a minute here, this is still up in the air, and then it gets into you really start scratching your head. Also, another issue with Pritchard is I don't know who won. I mean, you can't find the election results on their website. I mean, this is a little thing, but it's a big thing because the Secretary of State's website did not have the election results on their website because these elections are being administered by the municipalities. And so I call over the Pritchard City Clerk's office and I get an answering machine and I never got a call back. So that's, here we are. Who's the watchdog in all this? It falls in the ACLU's hands, and there's criticism towards them and whether or not they have an agenda and that sort of thing. Well, I mean,
I think we have a
hole here, it seems like, on kind of this watchdog element. And so that's just kind of an example there in Pritchard. I know that, every city's different. And of course, some of the cities we reached out to, they had a representative respond back to us with some concerns over what the ACLU is highlighting as far as problems in their municipal elections. So it wasn't just, we were ignored by all these cities. That they all had their side of the story to tell as well. So, but that's kind of where we're at right now. I did talk to Caroline Dobson and Andrew Sorrell, both the Republican candidates for Secretary of State, and then we also followed up a colleague of mine reached out to the Democratic candidate for Secretary of State, and they all three of them believe that the office really does need to provide a little bit more oversight going forward, which would probably most likely take legislative action to do on these municipal elections, and to what extent they have different opinions. Like Ms. Dobson indicated interest in having a division set up in the Secretary of State's office that kind of monitors these things, municipal contests as well. And the Democratic candidate, Wayne Rogers, he noted that, you know, there's 26 of 32 city clerks running an election for the first time up in Jefferson County. So, you know, his concern is whether or not there's proper training going on. So, yeah, it seems like this is something that is an issue. To what extent, not every city experiences it, but to a certain extent, it seems to be something that is happening statewide.
Yeah, I wonder, and we talk about, you know, places you go, polling locations, and the number of them. And obviously, we know that the lines switch, whether you're talking about your municipal election or a congressional election or something like that. But I wonder if you had fewer places to polling locations. You go in there and, you know, you and I both show up. Let's say wherever. You and I both show up and they filter us into the line we're supposed to be in, right? Like, if we all go to the same place for every election, but in this one, it's like, oh, well, you're not going to get called there because you're not in, let's look at Mobile. You're in AL2 and I'm in AL1 or something like that, right? So you're not going to get called, but we would get called for the same municipal, something to that effect of it's one place, but they can filter out, like you go to the same place every time, depending on the election, you're called or not called to go there.
Sean, you make a good point, and this does happen in Baldwin County. Fairhope being a prime example, and Daphne as well. You know where to go vote in Spanish Fork. You go to City Hall or the Civic Center to vote. Folks know where to go. And when they get there, they splinter off to look at this various tables, and they provide their ID, and then they head off, and they're told where exactly to go and vote during the process, but they're at that same location. So physically they're there. And again, I don't know how many provisional ballots there were in Spanish Ford or Fairhope during the August 26 elections, but that's where everybody was at, as a gathering spot. That's exactly my observation at Fairhope. Seemed like a very active day at the Fairhope Civic Center. It seemed like it was brisk attendance. There was a lot of people there. The end of the day, though, turnout is still below 30%. So, you know, looks can be deceiving, but everybody is there at that one location. Now, I don't know how, you know, if there's legal provisions on the number of precincts per population, per capita, or how this is all set up. And I'm sure someone with an election official would be best to explain that. But it does seem to be, there is no confusion, for instance, in Fairhope on a municipal election. You go right to Fairhope Civic Center to go vote.
So, what has to happen, as you talk about, like for Sherella Dobson, If they're elected and they want to do this, is it an act of the legislature to let them have oversight, or is it from the executive branch? How does that work?
Yeah, that's correct. That would be something that they, and I've covered secretary of states over the years. It's not uncommon for them to have a list of priorities going into the legislative session, and they could provide a list of something that would require a new law or something along those lines. With Dobson, her proposal of creating a division within the Secretary of State's office, I'm not exactly sure. I don't want to say for a fact here, but that sounds like it could be an administrative internal reorganization within the office that may not require legislative action. But there could be, you know, if there's some need to provide more authority within the Secretary of State's office towards these municipal contests, that could be for instance, a legislative priority that a Secretary of State would want the legislature to consider. If it's a Republican that wins that election next year, and you're dealing with still a supermajority Republican legislature, a lot of times that legislature defers to, you know, the administrator of that office and say, yeah, you know, we'll consider the, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, you know, what's your priorities, Mr. and Mrs. Secretary, on that? And so, you know, that could be something that to look forward to in the future. But, you know, I just thought it was interesting, you know, the three candidates for the office all share a similar viewpoint that, yeah, there's got to be a little bit more oversight in this process because something seems off. And there is no one-size-fits-all issue or concern here. Every city has a different topic that they're dealing with.
Yeah, it does seem like you're talking about both sides of the aisle here. People running for the job had the same concern. And I've talked about today, I don't really see it being a political thing. I see it being a pragmatic thing. Yeah, I hope we get a, like I said, for Mobile, I hope we get a postmortem, you know, whenever they can get around, a week or two afterwards, and tell us what happened and what went wrong. I mean, you, anywhere in your household or a job, something screws up like that, you go, okay, what wasn't done correctly? What do we need to fix for next time? And just tell we the people in regular language what happened.
Yeah, that could be a possibility. It could be an option too. It could be up to the city council member could ask for that, for, you know, for an update as well at a council meeting. So we'll see how that goes. You know, this is the last day of this election cycle for municipalities. We won't be doing this again for another 4 years.
Yeah.
And you know, we'll look.
But then we'll forget about it. That's my problem. I see this, like, then we'll forget about it till next time. I want, like, us to do it now. Let's get it fixed now and not forget, because yes, I'll forget about it in 4 years that there was an issue.
Well, then, you know, you get, you, you know, you discuss it now and then you talk about a fix and then you may have a different city clerk. So, you know, it's like one of the folks we quoted in the story said it could be kind of a transient type of position. You know, throughout the state, you have different small communities, and the city clerk may be there for their, you know, for 30 years, or maybe there for 2 or 3 years and move on. So, yeah, it's again, not a one size fits all type of situation or solution to this issue.
Now, what are you thinking turnout today? You know, with very few exceptions, it's always going to be less on a runoff. I don't know. I mean, I get nothing but anecdotal. People say, hey, my polling place is busier than it was back in August. Some people say it's the same. Some people say it's less. Are you hearing anything through your channels?
No, my suspicion it'll be less than August 26th. However, there's something different about this election. It has to do with the fact that for the first time in 20 years, we have an open seat for a mayor's race.
Mm-hmm.
So that is interesting. I think I saw more and more activity in the last 2 weeks on social media than I did outside of the Paul Prine supporters who are very passionate leading into the August 26th election. But last 2 weeks, I saw a lot more activity on social media with folks forming up their sides and, you know, kind of stating their, you know, who they're going to support and that sort of thing. You know, people are somewhat engaged. I think that's a good thing. To what extent, we'll find out later tonight.
True.
It's been mostly I don't want to say, you know, I know there's been a little bit of negativity, but when you compare where we're at today in modern politics, I think mostly these two candidates have ran a fairly clean race, you know, compared to what we see on the state and federal level. And even
I don't know if that's the best benchmark. That's the best mark to try to.
I know the benchmark's really low anymore. Yeah, but I mean, there hasn't been personal attacks per se, and that's, I think that's a good thing, and I think that's reflective of Mobile too, and that's a good thing for Mobile. And I did talk to former Mayor Dow about that a little bit. He thinks that's just kind of, you know, that's the history of local politics. You know, they may go back and forth on issues or partisan matters like we're seeing right now, but the personal pot shots we haven't seen too much of between these candidates. We haven't seen any of, I can't recall, of note. And so that's a good thing. And so we'll save all the real negative advertising for next year.
Yeah, for the Senate race, for sure. All right. People would read this story, of course, over at AL.com with all your election coverage if they want to find you online. Where are you? Where are you hiding?
Well, I'm all over the socials at JohnSharp99.
Good stuff, John. I appreciate it, man. We'll talk soon, and we'll be watching your post tonight as those results come in. There he is, John Sharp from AL.com. We'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 127 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. And you know what? I think it's kind of always, this is like a lightning storm, always a good day to go out and enjoy a little bike ride, especially when you're riding on an e-bike like I have been for the last couple of years. From my friends at Adventure Earth Bicycle, really my friend, Clint Jamison, and we've known each other for way too long, but we're young guys, but decades. And it was great to see him do what he did and hang out his own shingle, because since I've known the guy, he's been all about bikes. This is his thing. This is his expertise. It's what he does for a living now, but it's what he is interested in 24/7. That's the kind of guy you want out there seeing what's new. You know, somebody that gets up every morning, this is what they want to be looking at. and then he finds the best stuff and brings it back to us. Now, the non-electric bikes, he's got 400 plus of those in stock at A-Ton. Everything from the kids' bikes to mountain bikes to road bikes to gravel bikes, all that. And in the electric bike world, has a big selection of those as well. And specifically, he knows what's happening. He said, hey, Sean, I just got a shipment of Fat Tire e-bikes in time for hunting season. He's got even more now. He said, I now have the Mach Wheel Obsidian 2.0 with the 750-watt motor, Fat Tire hunting bike with full suspension in camo. Also from Denago, he has their Fat Tire e-hunt that's in OD green and black for hunting season, plus the accessories that go on the bike. If you get a new bike or if you want to accessorize the one you have now, if you're using it in the woods or wherever, he's got the shotgun and rifle holders that go on them, pistol holders. So not only you got place for your water bottle, cell phone holders, shotgun, rifle, bow holders, all that can go on, plus these panniers, which I think are really cool. You put them over the back tire there, and you can carry all kind of gear if you're going in the woods. He's got a full selection of everything that goes on the bikes as well. Plus, he's a good old-fashioned bike shop. You want to get repairs done, service, all that kind of stuff, go see him. Corner of Little Flower and Airport in Midtown, kind of across from Ruth's Chris. They're online, adventure-earth.com. Adventure Earth Bicycles, everything inside to get you outside. And we'll get to your text when we come back from the news. Also, just a heads up, like another great show from my friend John Young last night, Mr. Mobile, Admiral Mobile, John Young. If you did not catch his show last night or any show you don't catch when it airs, you can always go to the podcast tab on fmtalk1065.com. Or if you have the FM Talk 1065 app, all our podcasts are on there. Or anywhere you subscribe for podcasts, just make sure to follow and subscribe FM Talk 1065. And just look for Tonight Mobile with Mr. Mobile, John Young. You see here last night's episode and all the ones from before. All right, coming right back. News is next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 1065.
Right, 1:35, FM Talk 1065, Midday Mobile on this runoff election day Tuesday edition of the show. Check in with my man Blaine Price at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale because I always like pretty much everything in the store I like to talk about, but we hadn't talked about this one in a while, and I do love them. The RTVs from Kubota. Man, how's your stock looking on those?
We're looking good on the RTVs right now, Sean. We got plenty of the gas and the diesel models. We've got a few enclosed cabs as well as the diesel four-seaters in stock in all colors. So if you're looking to go to the hunting camp, you want to camouflage them, we've got them in stock right now.
Okay, and not if y'all hadn't looked at these in a while, because I have an older RTV, and I like mine. It's reliable, but I missed the trappings, the add-ons, and the ones today. I mean, you could get them with AC and closing doors and a stereo, and I mean, it's a big jump from where I am.
Yeah, you can get plenty of different add-on options, you know, whether you want to add winches and light bars and all those type of add-ons. We've got all that. Come see us. Like I said, we got plenty of them in stock right now. Perfect time for hunting season to go to the camp, start out a new hunting season with a brand-new RTV.
That's right. And also, this is another part of, like, where I may or may not spend some of my day here at work when I'm it's like shadowing ParrishTractor.com, because y'all have your pre-owned tab, and we don't talk about that enough, but if folks go on there, they're looking for tractors, looking for RTVs, looking for implements. There's a whole bunch on there for sale.
There is. So there's a little bit of everything. Go, like you said, go to ParrishTractor.com, click on the pre-owned tab at the top. We've got pictures uploaded of all the different equipment, implements, you know, side-by-side, skid steers, tractors, you name it. There's a wide variety of equipment on that pre-owned tab. So go check that out. Give us a call. We'll be happy to help. If it's not here in Robertsdale and at one of our other store locations, we can normally get it here within a day or two.
Okay. Well, tell them how to reach out to you.
We're right here at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale on Highway 59. Come by, see us Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. Saturdays, 8 till noon. You can give us a call at 251-947-4171 or visit us online at ParrishTractor.com.
Hey, thank you, Blaine.
Thank you, Sean.
All right, there he goes. My man Blaine at Parrish Tractor, and we'll get to some of these texts. Plus, hey, this was, thank you. Story was sent to me. Thank you. This from by NBC15, so WPMI, kind of what we're talking about. Talking about John's story, which is a pretty good read about what both Dobson and Sorrell would like to do about overseeing city elections. I think it's a worthwhile debate. Earlier this month, the 2nd. So this was on the 2nd of September, came out at MyNBC15. Headline, questions arise over Mobile polling place change amid election certification. Says, as elections are certified across Alabama, so y'all, time machine, we're at the beginning of this month, right, after the last municipal election. Said, after elections are certified across Alabama, questions have emerged regarding the conduct of Mobile's recent election. Concerns were raised at a city council meeting by the city's decision in July to relocate a polling place from Holy Cross Lutheran Church to Dauphin Way Baptist Church. The city initially cited traffic concerns and space issues as the reason for the move. However, the decision was made despite an opinion from the state's attorney general's office saying that polling locations cannot be moved within 3 months of election. City Kirk Lisa Lambert, defended the decision, emphasizing that the move was made to address a safety issue. As of now, no legal challenges have been filed. Well, but once again, that's talking about a 3 month window. Here's, and I appreciate you sending me that story, but I think Dan's, I mean, many of y'all are great examples here, but Dan's the one right here that works with us, right? And to go in and vote, if y'all didn't hear it last hour, he started off the show with me. So many of people have texted in and said they had problems today and have to go provisional. Not, I'd say so many. I probably have 7 or 8 of y'all that said this situation happened. So make sure we stay accurate. But Dan said, so he goes to vote, same place he did last month. Had no problem last month voting in the municipal election. He goes back today, same place, to vote on the runoff for mayor. And he's told that he's an inactive voter. I mean, it wasn't a difference between like, yeah, state election, you have a municipal. It is municipal, and it's the runoff to the other municipal. And he had to do a provisional. And I just wonder what happened, right? We're not going to get this stuff fixed unless we go, okay, here's what didn't go correctly. Here's how we have to fix it. Yeah, I know that a lot of y'all are saying this is, you think it's, that there's some kind of shenanigans going on. I don't know. I don't think it's that interesting. I think it's sad, though, that it's probably some kind of clerical error or computer error or something like that. You know? All right. Maxima says, if it quacks like a duck and it walks like a fixed election, it's a fixed election. Basically disregarding votes until it's super close, but the disparity of counted versus provisional will make it less close, thus invalidating the provisionals. I do think you should have, I don't know why. I just would feel better if you counted the provisionals, even if it didn't make a difference. I just want to know if somebody looked at them, right? All right, let's see. Haywood said, just got a text message from the Drummond campaign to vote. Well, there you go. You got a reminder. Let's see. Yeah, Michael says, and yes, I also had the same thing happen this morning as Dan. Okay, so there's another one. I mean, this is, once again, like some of the things have been thrown up before. It's like, hey, you change, you know, you have the lines for a municipal election that don't line up with a congressional. I get those things, but this one is just... This is apples to apples on this. Jerry said, are we going to let the ACLU and other terrorists control the elections? Well, I think this is a fair say that ACLU is the mechanism here, not the Secretary of State's office, right? I think it's a reason to talk about this. And, you know, in this cycle, you'll have the people who want to take the job that Wes Allen is leaving, like Caroline Dobson and Andrew Sorrell. And I think there's two others. They're going to come on, and it's a fair question. We've got to make a note in our phones to remember to say, hey, what can you do And if you can't do anything, how can you change the law to where you can do something? To when I say oversight, I don't even like the idea of them with their glasses pushed down their nose looking at somebody. I don't want that. But can we have like a, you know, people that are in the emergency management world, they have drills, right? Are we ready for a storm? Are we ready for a terrorist attack? Are we ready for a crash at the airport? Are we ready? Could we do one of those? Maybe they do. But, I mean, can you do like, I heard somebody was laughing outside the hallway when I said it, but you remember shirts and helmets practice, right? Shorts and helmets practice on Friday. So nobody got, can we do a run through? Let's see. As Texture said, thank the Lord we had no club for growth spots in the municipal cycle. You're right. But just wait. They'll be back. I mean, you know, although I don't know, because of Marshall versus Moore, will Club for Growth find a way to pick one of those two to get it? It's going to be funny because both are like super conservative guys, right? But if Club for Growth can't stand it, just remember this, when the ads start running, they'll say, so-and-so is not a conservative. And you'll just, at that point, know that they're full of it. If Club for Growth moves in, and listen, I'll take their ad dollars. I'm a capitalist. But if they move in, like those two guys, if they'll find a way to say, you know, so-and-so, like they're both very conservative. You know, when they do this in the past, I've just laughed. I kind of roll my eyes. Let's see. Da-da-da-da-da. Irish Indian said, Lisa Carol Lambert is your voting problem. She is the Democrat clerk. I don't know if she's Democrat or I don't know. I don't like the politics part of it. Once again, maybe I'll be proven wrong, Irish Indian, but I really think this is going to be a why didn't we get a job done better and not putting a finger on the scale for one candidate over another. Although Squirrel Vereen disagrees, says Sharp is downplaying Drummond's anti-conservative tactics. Yeah, he did. Here's the difference. John's going to be down the... I hear what you're saying, Squirrel Vereen, on this one. But John's got to say what the candidates are doing. Now, we know that I can sit here and editorialize in because I'm an editorialist, not a journalist. I can editorialize that we all know that PACs and candidates have a little... You know, they're not supposed to ever talk to each other. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. But the PAC did that stupid thing where they had trying to make Spiro look like the devil and was there with Trump and they were in like red tent. Like that wasn't Drummond's campaign herself. So John's got to like be factual about the candidate didn't say it. But I can tell you the candidate didn't say don't do that either, did they? But goes on to say, Squirrel Vereen, he will still do report emphasizing Drummond being the first black woman mayor, which is why they vote for her. Who is they? Let's see. Biggin. All right. Good to hear from you, Biggin. It's been a while. They just tested the machines 1 week ago. All right. So this is, thank you, Biggin, for me to do. So now I got to figure out what screwed up, right? Could it be that simple that you just tell us, like, we didn't update something or we didn't check the spokes in the thing? I don't know. That's, you know, it leaves me scratching my head. And Firecracker says to be an inactive voter in Alabama takes 8 years of not vote. I thought it was 4 years, whichever, not 1 month. Right. So Firecracker, I said when Dan said he was told he's an inactive voter and somebody said, well, yeah, that's because you hadn't voted in 4 years. I said he voted 4 weeks ago. All right, 147, we'll be right back.
Triggered?
Snowflakes, the turds of our society.
Prepare for a complete meltdown. The Michael Berry Show, weekdays at 6.
Stop giving in to these dumb...
On Mobile's FM Talk 106.5.
For WKRG News 5, I'm Devin Walsh. Voting continues in Mobile's mayoral runoff election. Results tonight will determine who is mayor for the next 4 years. And for the first time in a long time, there's no incumbent in the race. Former District Court Judge Spiro Charagatis and State Representative Barbara Drummond are facing off in the runoff. Polls close tonight at 7. There are also runoffs in Pritchard, Chickasaw, Robertsdale, Jackson, and Philomathon. A man is facing animal cruelty charges after after his horses were found nearly starved to death. 29-year-old Bobby Smith was arrested Friday after a two-month investigation. Sheriff's deputies say two horses were severely underweight at his home on Wilmer Georgetown Road in Wilmer. Deputies also found the body of a horse that was partially burned. People living in Alabama's coastal communities have a chance to learn more about changing traffic patterns once work on a new bridge over the Intracoastal Waterway is finished next summer. A public input meeting is being held tonight at the Orange Beach Event Center from 5 until 7. Devin Walsh, News 5.
Deer hunters, save on clean deer corn when you buy in bulk from Simmons Farm in Castleberry. $7 for a 50-pound bag and $40 for a barrel. Great corn at great prices at Simmons Farm in Castleberry, just 14 miles east of I-65. Call Houston at 251-363-7701.
I'm Stephanie Bryan, chairwoman of the Porch Creek Indians. Tourism and hospitality are more than industries to the Porch Creek Indians. Providing a warm welcome is part of our heritage. It's central to who we are. From Atmore to Aruba, we've created more than 20 unique travel and tourism destinations, providing unforgettable guest experiences and life-changing career opportunities for our tribe and our neighbors in Alabama and beyond. Learn more at porchcreekindians.org.
Hey, don't waste it. Recycle it. I'm Coach Recycle, here to stop you from trashing valuable materials. Those bottles and cans fuel Alabama's industries. If you toss them out, you waste jobs, energy, and opportunity. Sort it, bin it, recycle it. It's good for Alabama. Learn more at alrecycles.org.
This project was funded by the Alabama Department of Environmental Management through a grant from the Alabama Recycling Fund, the Alabama Broadcasters Association, and this station.
If you're a sportsman and love the great outdoors, you know how important it is to utilize the tips and tricks that really good fishermen and hunters know. That's why sportsman and writer, editor, and photographer John Felsher is sharing his knowledge gathered from a lifetime of learning what works and what doesn't. Listen for the Outdoor Tips Daily on FM Talk 106.5. You may become more successful fishing and hunting. Outdoor Tips with John Felsher on FM Talk 106.5.
I'm Jeff Davis with Just a Thought. At no time in the nation's history have we needed mental health support more. The impression many Americans have is that half the U.S. are just out of their minds. Consider a man in New Mexico accused of killing a couple of auto parts sales associates because they sold him the wrong part. It's a ridiculous story, but not the most crazy. A man in Nevada murdered his stepfather because he had thrown out his toiletries. It's hard to believe, but it's true. And alcohol was involved. Charlie Kirk's murder fits into a framework of mental illness. The knifing killing of a young woman in Charlotte is another case of a senseless killing by someone who's obviously off-kilter. If you saw pictures of Brian Koberger online, the images are very scary. Koberger killed multiple people. But the problem of mental illness is much more widespread than examples of people who are accused of some of the most heinous crimes. The treatment of mentally ill people for a variety of crimes is lacking. And the way things are going, it's not likely to change. Just a Thought. I'm Jeff Davis.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, to 152 FM Talk 106.5. Midday Mobile, Tuesday style. Yeah, polls open till, you know, until 7 tonight. Don't think it should take too long to get results turned around. But then what do I know after the day we've seen today? But we'll be updating on our social media platforms. And, of course, Dan and Dalton will be in first thing tomorrow morning to break it all down and to hear from you what happens. And we've got, in addition to Mobile, I know a lot of focus has been on Mobile, but you've got a runoff election, of course, for Pritchard going on. You've got Robertsdale with the runoff election going on. You've got some runoffs on some I think Sarah Lynn City Council, Chickasaw Mayor has a runoff. You got City Council races, but the bigger ones here would be the mayoral in Robertsdale and Pritchard and Mobile. Let's see here. I got a list here. All right, Sarah Lynn City Council Place 5 runoff, Chickasaw Mayor runoff, Chickasaw City Council Place 3 runoff, Chickasaw City Council Place 5. We did that one twice. Pritchard City Council District 3, Pritchard City Council District 4, Pritchard City Council District 5. Baldwin County, you got Gulf Shores City Council Place 1, Daphne City Council District 5, and Robertsdale City Council Place 2. So there's Right, so we'll be talking about those coming up tomorrow. And it'll be over for a little while, but then, I mean, of course, we're right in the 2026 cycle. It's already happened, if you haven't noticed. And who was somebody was texting about Club for Growth earlier? Yeah. Maybe I'll get a few more of these texts. I did want to, well, we're not going to have time. Stuff left on the list for tomorrow, but we'll get to it. We'll get to it tomorrow. You're like some of this. Stories from around the nation, we'll just call it that. And also, before I forget, too, because, hey, Forrest, I got to come see you either today or tomorrow. They've got their summer service special going on at Blue Water Yacht Sales and Service. So you're thinking about just needed to get that service work done all summer, or you're thinking about getting that work done before you put the boat up for the year. Summer service special going on right now at Blue Water Yacht Sales and Service. Here it is. 15% off the labor and 15% off Yamaha Mercury parts right now through the end of this month. So routine maintenance, repair. They got a 5-star gold Yamaha service certified service team. They do the work there on those engines. Or like we're saying, if you know you're going to work on your impellers, you're going to be doing whatever you do each year, you know, to maintain that engine for next year, 15% off those parts right now, too, and also 15% off labor. You want to see about getting your boat dropped off to get work done, go to bluewateryachtsales.net, and you can make an appointment right there to drop it off. East I-65 Service Road here in Mobile and at Orange Beach Marina. Plus, they got deals on repowering and all that going on right now. All right, let me get a few more texts here. My gosh, we're going to run out of time. Squirrel Vereen said, who is they? Her voters. Yes, Lisa Lambert's a Democrat. Look at her Facebook post. Where are the Patriots and when will they get fed up? I don't know. Yeah, I guess I don't spend enough time, or it's maybe a good or bad thing, I don't spend enough time on social media. I don't know if that's, I think it's good for me, actually, but let's see. Billy D said, typical issues when government is involved, very simple question to answer. Why did it happen? Who is responsible? And what are we doing to fix the issue moving forward? Really frustrating, similar to all the cameras that are inoperable around town that we find out about after the fact. 100%, Billy D. Like, and it's not just, you know, heads will roll. I would say this, if I'm in executive position there, heads will roll if something doesn't get done. But when there's a screw up like this, get everybody in the room, you know, like you walk in, parents, like stuff's crazy in the house. And you don't, you know this, you don't talk to the children individually. No. Get everybody at the dinner table and say, all right, here's what happened. How did this happen? So when everybody's right there, and then you go, okay, this happened. And often it's probably not analogous because it'll be something ridiculous in my house. But in government, you can go, you know, what happened? Well, we didn't, whatever the thing, I don't know what the thing is. I'm not going to sit here and harp and say, I know they screwed this thing up, but something ain't working. So how did we get there? And like Billy D said about the cameras, how did we get there over time? Okay, fix it now and tell me how you're going to make sure this thing doesn't happen again. Matt says, why is this mayoral race garnering so much attention nationwide? Why would Harris, Buttigieg, etc. weigh in? And now we have all those voting issues. I don't know why the attention there. Yeah, and they've been playing this clip. Maybe I have time to play it real quickly. This clip of former VP Kamala Harris. She was on with Rachel Maddow. And it comes off of her, Rachel Maddow, who wants her to talk about Mom Donnie in New York. And then Kamala Harris says, well, yeah, but we also got, I don't know, she'd call them superstars or whatever, that are running for office elsewhere. Okay, we got time. We're going to take part of this clip. Here we go.
And about the prospect that he's going to win. Look, as far as I'm concerned, he's the Democratic nominee and he should be supported.
Do you endorse his candidacy?
I support the Democrat in the race, sure. But let me just say this. He's not the only star. I know that, you know, he's in New York, and I know New Yorkers think they're the center of the world, and here we are in New York having this interview.
It is the biggest city in the country.
And I love New York, as the saying goes. I really do. But, I mean, there are people like Barbara Drummond in Mobile, Alabama, Helena Moreno in New Orleans. They're all running for mayor, too.
So, and also this clip. So there's a little bit of the clip from last night on MSNBC shouting out Barbara Drummond. Like, I don't know why the specific, so to answer your question, I don't know why the extra attention to it, but it's there. because it was, I think the headline here was like the rising Democratic stars or something like that. These are the stars. I don't know. I don't know if there's anything more to be read in it. I am not sure, Matt, if we haven't had other national endorsements in municipal elections, maybe. I don't know, because it probably, even if it happens from conservatives, I don't pay it a lot of attention. Now, maybe that stuff means more to other people than it does me, but when somebody gives me an endorsement, and that's because I've thought it through. Maybe for a low-information voter, it works because they haven't thought through who they're going to vote for. But for me, it's I already have my mind made up. All right. We'll see. 7 o'clock tonight, close the polls, and it'll be all over but the crying. All right. We'll do a show again tomorrow. It'll be called Midday Mobile. Paul Feinbaum next.
Rates, policy forms, and availability vary by state. Did you know life insurance rates are near record lows? If you own life insurance, or if you're thinking of buying any, why spend more than you have to? Since 1986, AccuQuote has helped literally millions of people just like you save a fortune on their life insurance. Here's how they do it. They monitor the products offered by dozens of the most well-respected brand-name life insurance companies you trust so that you get the lowest rates. For example, a healthy 40-year-old can buy $500,000 of 10-year level term for less than $20 a month. 20 and 30-year rates are also available. Don't forget to ask them about the new term life plans that guarantee your money back even if you outlive your policy. Take 5 minutes and call AccuQuote for your free quote. Call 1-800-318-1787. Find out how much you can save on your life insurance. Call AccuQuote today at 1-800-318-1787. That's 1-800-318-1787.
Turning up your voice. FM Talk 106.5, WAVH-FM, Daphne.